Welcome back to the Wisdom Journey, where we're traveling through the Bible with a new lesson each weekday. Today, Stephen Davey begins our time in 2 Kings 20. King Hezekiah knew with certainty that he had 15 more years to live because the Lord told him this. Yet, this knowledge didn't prove beneficial for him. For us, the uncertainties of life have a purpose. They drive us to trust in the Lord daily and remain faithful to Him. This lesson is called A Surprising Turn of Events.
Many of you have probably heard the expression, be careful what you ask for because you just might get it. Well, that's simply a way of saying that when we get the things we want, we often find out they're not nearly as satisfying as we thought they'd be. Well, in some ways, this is what King Hezekiah is going to experience in the final years of his reign. 2 Kings chapter 20 opens with these rather ominous words. In those days, Hezekiah became sick and was at the point of death. Now, the phrase "those days" actually refers to the events in the previous chapter. The king's illness took place prior to the Lord's deliverance from this giant of an empire called Assyria, which we studied in our last wisdom session. So the Assyrian invasion isn't Hezekiah's only problem. He's actually facing a health crisis. Well, the prophet Isaiah says to the king here in verse 1, "Thus says the Lord, set your house in order, for you shall die. You shall not recover." In other words, the Lord says, go write out your will, and you might as well pick out your casket. Now, Hezekiah's response is probably what yours and mine would be. We're told here in the next verse that Hezekiah, he starts praying and crying out to the Lord. Now, keep in mind, Hezekiah is only 39 years old at this time, and he wants to live, and he begs God to heal him. God will answer his prayer immediately. In fact, even before Isaiah can get back on his mule out there, the Lord answers through him and delivers this wonderful news to Hezekiah, now here in verse 5. "Thus says the Lord, I have heard your prayer. I have seen your tears. Behold, I will heal you and will add 15 years to your life." Let me tell you, beloved, even if God doesn't heal you, you can rest assured that he's heard your prayer and he's also seen your tears. Well, Hezekiah asks the Lord for some sign to accompany this promise of having 15 more years of life and health. Well, apparently, out there in the palace courtyard, there were some steps, and the shadow moving along those steps throughout the day was used much like a sundial to determine the time. Well, God causes the shadow to retreat 10 steps, miraculously making this day longer, just as he promises to make Hezekiah's life a little longer. Now, let's be honest here. I think most of us would like to know how much longer we have to live. And I think we're under the impression that this kind of knowledge would make life richer, more meaningful. Well, it actually has the opposite effect. Not knowing how long you have to live, the fact that today could be your very last day, reminds us to walk with God today because, well, you might not have tomorrow. I want you to see what happens to Hezekiah because this knowledge doesn't help him any at all. In fact, I want to give you several different results. The first one is this: guaranteed health and life for the next 15 years will create pride and self-sufficiency in his heart. In fact, when the king of Babylon sends envoys to Hezekiah to congratulate him on this miraculous recovery, Hezekiah rather arrogantly gives them a backdoor tour of his glorious kingdom. We're told here in verse 13, Hezekiah showed them all his treasure house, the silver, the gold, the spices, the precious oil, his armory, all that was found in his storehouses. There was nothing in his house or in all his realm that Hezekiah did not show them. You could almost read that "show off" to them. You notice the references to his treasure house, his armory, his storehouses. There's not one reference to God. Now, over in the parallel account of 2 Chronicles chapter 32, we're told that this visit from Babylon was a test from the Lord to see what was brewing in Hezekiah's heart. And well, what's brewing here is pride. There's going to be a price to pay. You see, it isn't going to be the Assyrians. It's going to be the Babylonians who come along one day and overthrow Judah. Hezekiah has just given them a look at what's there in the bank vault, and you can imagine what they report back to their king. Well, secondly, this guarantee of 15 more years brings us a sense of spiritual complacency and apathy. Isaiah tells Hezekiah here in 2 Kings chapter 20 and verse 17, "The days are coming when all that is in your house and that which your fathers have stored up till this day shall be carried to Babylon, and some of your own sons shall be taken away." But what's his reaction to this terrible prophecy? Verse 19 says, "Well, then said Hezekiah, 'The word of the Lord that you have spoken is good.' For he thought, 'Well, why not? If there will be peace and security in my days.'" Sadly, he's not concerned at all with what this prophecy means. He's apathetic. He just notices that it isn't going to happen until after he's gone. So instead of praying and seeking the Lord for the safety of his kingdom, in fact, his own family, he just kind of says, "Hey, you know, this isn't my problem. I'm going to let the next generation deal with it." This is incredible apathy. In fact, these are the last recorded words of Hezekiah. In spite of all the good things he did and his faithful trust in the Lord during his earlier years, Hezekiah failed to pass on the truth of God to his own son and successor named Manasseh, who no doubt observed his apathy. Tragically, the first 9 verses of 2 Kings now in chapter 21 describe Manasseh as terribly wicked. He builds altars for Baal and other pagan gods, even places altars and images inside the temple of the Lord. Verse 6 even tells us here that he burned his son as an offering and used fortune-telling and omens and dealt with mediums and with necromancers. Beloved, he becomes the most wicked king ever to rule in Judah. But then the most unlikely thing happens. Over in 2 Chronicles, here in chapter 33, Manasseh is taken captive to Babylon. Now listen to this testimony in verse 12. "When he was in distress, he entreated the favor of the Lord his God and humbled himself greatly before the God of his fathers. He prayed to him, and God was moved by his entreaty and heard his plea and brought him again to Jerusalem into his kingdom. Then Manasseh knew that the Lord was God." What a reminder, beloved. If you've ever thought that someone was beyond the reach of God, that would have been Manasseh. This wicked king, he's a prime example of human depravity. But here now he becomes an example of the grace of God. Well, upon his return to Jerusalem, Manasseh attempts to turn Judah back to the Lord. He removes these idols. He restores the altar of the Lord. Verse 16 tells us he even commanded Judah to serve the Lord. Well, unfortunately, the kingdom of Judah isn't all that interested. When Manasseh's son, Amon, takes the throne, we're told that he began to live a wicked life. His reign was a refusal as well to follow God. And tragically, he's assassinated after reigning as king only 2 years. You know, as I look back over these chapters detailing the lives of Hezekiah and Manasseh, I think there are at least two timeless principles we need to underscore. First, a godly past is not a guarantee to future success. Hezekiah was a godly king, but his pride ruined his future and final years on the throne. But secondly, I want to point out, a wicked past is not an obstacle to a godly future. I mean, look here at Manasseh. If God can move in a heart like his and bring a king like him to repentance, well, maybe you need to keep praying for your son or your daughter, maybe your husband or your mother or father. There's hope for even the most hardened unbeliever. Well, we're out of time for today. So until next time, may the grace of the Lord Jesus Christ and the love of God and the fellowship of the Holy Spirit be with you all. Amen.
I hope these two principles will linger in your heart and help you live for God today. A godly past is not a guarantee of future success. And secondly, a wicked past is not an obstacle to a godly future. Stephen Davey called this lesson a surprising turn of events. We have a monthly magazine, and we send 3 free issues to anyone who asks. Use the link in the show notes to request your copies. Join us next time as we travel along the wisdom journey.